Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network, and a fun night it's going to be tonight. I've got a studio full in here with me, and it's going to be a good one. It's going to be hard-hitting radio is probably the best way to put it. So I'd like to welcome you to the Armed American Radio Network tonight. And, you know, I'm going to lock the phones down because of the nature of the content of the program tonight. So I'll only ask that if you want to contact the studio or you want to speak to my in-studio guest this evening, that you please reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or you can catch me on the Twitter. You can tweet me at twitter.com/AARmark. We have a lot to talk about. But before we get going, I'd like to welcome listeners right now, today, on WWTC AM 1280, The Patriot, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Twin Cities. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the broadcast. A lot happening out there in gun world, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've got emails galore, still coming in from the Ted Nugent interview, actually, but we're going to push those off to the roundtable tonight, where my guests will be George Hill, the Mad Ogre, the Godfather of Blog, and Morgan Boatman, and anybody else that feels free, maybe one of my in-studio guests if he wants to stick around. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's get that out of the way. The Washington Times is at it. Editorial, gun owners in the crosshairs. The gun grabbers are at it again in Maryland. Next month, the state's House Judiciary Committee will initiate hearings on legislation forcing firearms enthusiasts to register with the state government before they can exercise their Second Amendment rights. Imagine that. Delegate Samuel I. Rosenberg, Baltimore Democrat, and Senator Brian E. Frosch, Montgomery County Democrat, would mandate that citizens carry a special license while conducting any number of routine transactions involving a gun. You know what that means, don't you? That means they want to trample on your rights. And we'll talk about that in detail on the roundtable later on the broadcast. Another good one we're going to discuss in detail. I'm sure you've heard it. Police Chief, King County, North Carolina, Al Gore, calling Al Gore. They were buried under snow, and so were we in the Atlanta metro area. So wherever you're at, Mr. Gore, send it down this way, please. We haven't heard from you in a while. King County remained under a state of emergency until Monday. That's right. What they did was authorities lifted a curfew and alcohol restrictions in King County on Sunday, but said a state of emergency declaration remained in effect until Monday. So what they did was they put into place alcohol restrictions and firearm restrictions. You were not allowed to purchase. You were not allowed to carry. You were not allowed to purchase ammunition or a gun or have it in your car, or you risked arrest. And we'll talk about that in detail later in the broadcast. And a big one brewing, a huge one brewing out in California that, because this is Armed American Radio, we must talk about, and that's gun rights advocates. Fox News posted this up today. Gun rights advocates are target California detective following Facebook posts. And, man, that story's getting super hot. So we'll go into that in a little bit of a whole lot of detail in hour number three on the roundtable. But let's get started with this evening's broadcast, and a good one it's going to be. We've got three guests in my studio tonight, and I can tell you that the story that you're going to hear is harrowing. It's real. It's real life, and real life can be downright dirty. It can be uncomfortable to listen to, but again, it's real life, and we're going to talk about it in detail because it's what you need to know if you've made the decision to carry a firearm for your personal protection or are thinking about it. Maybe you're on the fence. Stories like this can help you along either way to make a decision. And tonight I'm joined. I'm not going to use real names. I'm going to call you Eric, okay? Eric, welcome to the Armed American Radio Network, my friend. You're on the broadcast, and
Thank you very much, Mark. I'm glad that you made the ride.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Why don't we get started by let's tell the listeners across the country, how did we hook up? Tell everybody why you're here first.
Yeah, basically I got some information in some of those, you know, emails that keep you current about issues you're interested in, and you know, I'm pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, that sort of thing, and got some information about your show and about the subject matter, and my brother went through an experience that I thought you might be interested in, and you and I started trade emails, and here we are.
And here you sit, and I appreciate it. You guys took a long drive today to come up here 7 hours, if I'm not mistaken. You
came
up from Florida. So well, I appreciate you very much coming into the Armed American Radio Studios. People need to hear these kinds of things. It's why we're on the air. And I'd like to go ahead and welcome your brother, if I could, David. We'll call him David tonight. David is in the studio with me tonight. David, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. And also, sitting next to Eric over here is, I would say, no rookie to Armed American Radio, Mr. John Monroe, noted Second Amendment attorney and executive vice president of GeorgiaCarry.org. John, welcome back to Armed American Radio. We're glad you're here.
Thanks, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
All right, let's get started because, folks, I want to tell you how this is going to play out tonight. You're going to hear what happened to my in-studio guest tonight, and we'll hear about it in as much detail as we can and things that you need to hear, okay? Afterwards, I want to let you know that Masoud Ayoub, the great one, the master of self-defense, author of In the Gravest Extreme, the Bible, undoubtedly the Bible, is, well, let's just say in 1980 it's not been surpassed. If you haven't read it, you need to read it if you're carrying a gun or thinking about it, In the Gravest Extreme by Masoud Ayoub, and founder of the Ayoub. I mean, I can't even tell you how many books. I'm not even going to go into it. About 37 books and a ton of articles. Masoud is kind enough to be listening to the first hour with us tonight and will come on later in the broadcast and give us his expert opinion as to what you've just heard, and we'll talk about it in more detail with Masoud. So it's going to be a very powerful broadcast, and then of course we'll move into the roundtable as we always do, and we'll lighten things up a little bit. David, let's start with you.
Sure.
Let's start with what happened to you, and I want to set this up. We don't need to dwell on all of the detail. Just tell me what happened. You were at a restaurant and coming back to your vehicle. Take us from there.
Sure. If you don't mind, I have a few things I'd like to say.
Please.
First, I have to thank God for saving my life. Ultimately, that's there was no doubt that that was what protected me, and I have to thank my brother for giving me the skills and teaching me, you know, the basics of firearm usage and responsibility.
Now, your brother, Eric, taught you firearms. He got you involved with firearms?
Yes, sir.
Is that what got you involved in wanting to carry a firearm, was working with Eric?
Initially, yeah.
Okay. So,
but I've always been around him from a very young age. Always had a very good respect for them.
Okay, now you have a permit where you live,
yep.
And you were lawfully carrying a firearm on the night in question. Well, it's not in question, but take us through that while we've got maybe about 3.5-4 minutes before we go to a break. Let's set it up. When we come back from the break, we'll go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, I was in the passenger side of the vehicle and not driving, and the gun was securely encased in the glove compartment, and a man approached the window on my side, the passenger window of the car. I assumed that he was going to beg for money. I rolled down the window a few inches and told him to make it quick, at which point he brandished a pistol, and I retrieved my gun from the glove box and yelled to the driver to get us out of here and told him to get away from the car. And I yelled again, get away from the car. The driver froze, you know, unfortunately, And I threw the door into him as hard as I could, jumped out of the car, and he raised his pistol at me, and I continued to fire until he was no longer a threat.
Okay, now, there's a lot going on there. Rob Pincus co-hosts with us an awful lot, and one of his favorite sayings is there's a lot going on there.
Sure.
And we want to analyze exactly what happened without going into too much detail, but the bottom line is that you were approached at your vehicle. A pistol was brandished, and I think from a defensive standpoint, you asked him to leave, and he did not.
And he pointed the gun at me.
He pointed the gun at you at that time?
Yes.
Okay. You threw your weight into the door, knocking him off balance. Is that right?
Knocking him away from the car and back towards the rear of the vehicle.
Okay. Now, I should tell everybody that I'm here with David in the studio. David is not a small guy. David's a big guy. You're about what, 6'6", 300 pounds?
Yeah, it's 310, yeah.
Okay, 310 pounds. We'll throw the extra 10 on. I could have left that off for you, but that's okay. You threw it out. David is not a small man. So a gutsy move on behalf of the criminal. Now, did you have, well, I'll get into that later, because we've got about a minute, a little bit more than a minute right here before we go into the first break. So I want to leave the listener with this, that what you've just heard is you fired multiple times, stopping the threat.
Yes.
Okay. That individual fell, was no longer a threat.
No longer.
And then when we come back from the break, we'll talk in detail with John Monroe. We'll ask John a few questions. We've got about 30 seconds, and we'll ask him some questions, some pointed questions about that as well, and some of the actions, because the listeners need to know, folks that carry a weapon, if you've made a decision to carry a gun, these are things that you must think about. You've got to train for these things. We talk about this on Armed American Radio every single week with some of the best trainers in the United States, best trainers in the world. And they'll tell you exactly to act the same way that David did, and he did it instinctively, and we'll find out how and why right after these messages. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll see you right after the break.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? Do you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters? If so, you need to visit 9survive.com. When you do, you'll quickly learn vital survival skills such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters and the unprepared masses, Jedi mind tricks to keep you in the fight long after your friends have burned out, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. You can learn these skills and more by signing up for our free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9survive.com.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I have a host of guests here in the studio with me tonight. We're going to get right to it. The phones are not open for the first hour. We'll make a decision later to determine whether to reopen the phones up. If you're interested in asking any questions, please feel free to email the studio, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or you can hit me on the Twitter. Tweet me at twitter.com/AARMark, and I promise you that we'll get to everything that we can. Okay, when we left for the break, we had heard that my in-studio guest, we'll call him David. David was attacked in his vehicle, as a passenger in the vehicle, I should say, coming out of a restaurant. Was it late? Was it late at night?
It was fairly late. Yeah.
Fairly late? Okay. Coming out of a restaurant, the actor, I'll say, did not listen to the commands that David issued for him to back away. Brandished a gun, and a fight ensued, and it was a 45, you know, at this point now?
Yeah.
Okay. Brandished a large handgun, and David was forced to fire in self-defense. A very harrowing experience. John, I want to come over to you for just a second. If this were in Georgia, based on what you know and the very basics of what we've heard here, what comes into play here at this point?
Well, Georgia has actually multiple statutes that would come into play to protect somebody who has to defend himself with deadly force. First of all, because David was in a car and was attacked in his car, there's a law in Georgia that says that you can use deadly force to prevent any felony that's occurring when in an attack on your habitation. Now, you might think habitation means your house, but in Georgia, habitation also includes a motor vehicle. So you're privileged to use deadly force to prevent a felony attack on your habitation, including your car.
Is that the term forcible felony, or is that state by state? Because, of course, we're talking about the Castle Doctrine law here, which a number of states have passed over the last 5 to 6 years.
Right, and that was the next point I was getting to. With a habitation, it doesn't have to be a forcible felony. Any felony will do, so that would include, you know, things like just a simple theft. But there's a separate law that applies regardless of whether it's a habitation, that you can use deadly force to prevent a forcible felony, which of course this was too, because David was having a gun pointed at him. So we've got two different statutes that would protect him, in addition to just the general notion of being able to use deadly force to prevent essentially deadly force being used against him.
Okay, I think what's important for the listener here, across the country, we're being listened to in almost half the nation right now, and new cities being added weekly. Now, I want to point out that we're talking about your area of expertise here in Georgia, because this is where the studio is. And is there any blanket regulation or blanket law that might apply to somebody in Minneapolis that's listening to us for the first time today on Armed American Radio?
There aren't any blanket laws or regulations that apply, but there are general principles that tend to apply nationwide. But everyone should be aware that this is a matter of state law, not federal law, and people should make it a point to find out what the laws are in the states where they live or where they carry. There's a general principle that across the country you can use deadly force to prevent death or great bodily harm to yourself or to another person.
So one would think that having a 45 stuffed in your face when you exit a restaurant in your vehicle would generally fall into a particular category of I have a right to defend my life in this situation, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Although, it's going to vary from state to state whether you know, for example, it was legal to be carrying a gun at all in the first place.
Right, right.
But again, if, you know, if David said he was a license holder, so I'm assuming in his state it was, you know, he was legal to be carrying a gun where he was carrying one.
Okay.
Then one other thing I wanted to mention, Georgia layers on top of the of the privilege to use deadly force in the situations I described, also a criminal immunity. Because what I just talked about and what applies generally across the states is what in criminal law is called an affirmative defense, meaning that if you're charged with, you know, some kind of crime involving, you know, the deadly force that you employ, you can raise as an affirmative defense the fact that you were acting in self-defense. What that means is you're still arrested, you're prosecuted, you go through all the pretrial stuff. You don't even get to breathe a word about the fact that you were using self-defense until your trial, and not even then until after you're putting on your defense. Up until that point, it's irrelevant that you were acting in self-defense. It's irrelevant that you had an affirmative defense. But Georgia gives people a hand by also affording people immunity from criminal prosecution if, in the circumstances I described, the person was carrying a weapon lawfully at the time.
Okay, most, from what I understand and from what I've read, especially since Florida, I believe it was in 05, if I'm not mistaken, when Florida passes, you know, the Gunshine State, we were good friends with Florida. Florida passes the Castle Doctrine law, and of course, the NRA jumped on it and made it a priority nationwide. And we've seen, as the 87 law with the concealed carry licensing in Florida, that have just marched across the country. And we've seen the same thing with the Castle Doctrine as well, too. Can you tell us how many states right now have a Castle Doctrine? Do you know?
I couldn't tell you offhand. A lot of them have it as a matter of common law. Like, for example, Georgia just passed, I think what you're referring to is a Castle Doctrine law, just a couple of years ago. But all that did was codify what was already the common law. I think you're talking about like the stand your ground type of
law. Right, the stand your ground laws, the ones that the Brady campaign puts the big signs up in Florida when you're driving down 75 that say, watch out, Florida residents have the right to shoot. Well, yeah, of course. Common law exists. That common law pretty much exists in all 50 states, does it not, to a certain extent? And the right to self-defense?
The right to self-defense, yes, but I think some states have, as a matter of common law, a duty to retreat.
Okay.
Georgia did not, and the legislature decided to make it a matter of statutory law so that it couldn't be later changed by judges.
Right, as Florida did, as a number of other states did in their Castle Doctrine laws, where they threw in that duty to retreat, or eliminated the quote-unquote duty to retreat.
Right. Georgia never had it and still doesn't, and now it's a matter of statutory law as well.
Okay, so if your state does have it, the duty to retreat, you need to work with the legislature to get that changed. David, let's switch gears back over to you again real quick. Let's talk about mindset. We talk on Armed American Radio week in and week out about the combat mindset, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You were forced into a situation, just had a good meal. This is not the direction that you wanted your life to take at this moment in time.
Absolutely not.
What were you thinking? Can you tell us, and I know things happen very quick in that situation, up until we go into the break, can you tell us what was going through your mind when this horrible event began to unfold and you knew what was going to have to be required? And here we've got 30 seconds of it. Lead us into the break with that.
Shock, disbelief, and a constant questioning in my mind of, do I really have to go through this? Am I really going to be forced to do this?
Were you mad at the fact that you found yourself in this position at that moment in time? Were you angry?
I was angry that I was forced into this position and that I could not get out of it.
Okay, so you were stuck, basically, and you knew you were going to have to act.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to talk about. I know it's very emotional, but there are some questions I want to ask you about your mindset when we come back, because listeners must know these things.
Sure.
It's an education for all of us. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. Stick around. Don't turn the dial. You want to hear the rest of it. We'll see you in just a couple seconds.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
This Dream Support Moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save $1 when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office, Mac, or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com, and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. We've got a studio full here. We're going to continue the discussion momentarily. If you're interested in chiming in and getting through to me in the studio, the phones will be down for this hour. Please feel free to reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or twitter.com/AAR Mark. My producer, Sean, is kind enough to be monitoring the Twitter for us tonight. So thank you very much. We've got a couple emails coming in. We'll get to one here in just a moment. First of all, I'd like to re-welcome WWTC listeners, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and man, let me tell you, it's great to have you joining us. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. All right, we're back with David. And David, I've got an email here I want to read to sure. you, okay? It says, Mark, I'm a personal friend of David, and he is being modest. I think it's important for him to touch on the mental aspects of the aftermath, et cetera. Please ensure that time is given for that. It is a service to your listeners that he do so. Thanks for your efforts and contribution to the education of the public about firearms use and possession. Hardball. And Hardball says, if you mention Hardball, he'll know what you mean. You don't have to do it on the air. Well, Hardball, we just did it on the air. So let's just say that I'll answer that by saying that is the direction that we want to go. Sure. And that's where we want to focus on, because I think that's the most important aspect of what happened. All right. We've heard that you were forced to defend yourself. We've heard that you were forced to fire your gun in self-defense. And you're here to talk with us tonight because you did. And thank God for that, as you said at the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that combat mindset that we talk about in training on a fairly regular basis. Then let's talk about the aftermath. You were obviously prepared mentally. You found yourself in a situation you simply did not want to be in. And I know that, you know, I can't even imagine. Well, I can. But most folks can't imagine what it feels like to go through that. Let's talk about what happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What went through your brain after this incident occurred? What was the first thing you thought?
I got to thank Hardball, actually. He's been a great resource in helping me to deal with some of the issues, mental issues I've had to deal with. I felt for a long time a little cowardly, actually, that I wasn't more aware of protecting my passenger. And Hardball actually helped me to understand that you didn't have time to be aware of it. He said, subconsciously, of course you were. He said, but you didn't have time to be aware of it. And, we talked about, the way I positioned my body in the car and things like that, which was between the attacker and my passenger, or the driver, rather. I was the passenger.
Is that something that did you plan that? Were you thinking about these things when you, most people, let's face facts, we talk about on this program all the time, the mental preparation, preparedness, the action that you want to take to avoid a situation. We see it. One of my regular co-hosts, Rob Pincus, is on every 3 weeks as a regular co-host. If you've ever seen The Best Defense TV, they talk about it every single Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern on Best Defense TV. Well, were you thinking any of these things?
No. And I'll tell you, this was the last thing I ever expected to have to happen to me. Never did I ever expect even remotely anything close to this to have to happen to me and to be forced into this. I carry because it's my obligation as a living being to protect myself.
Great point. And that's what we talk about on Armed American Radio week in and week out. Okay. The aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Lights, sirens, witnesses.
Sure.
Tell us about it.
There was a man standing immediately behind me. After it was over, my attacker was no longer a threat. I looked around to see if he was alone. And I looked immediately behind me. There was a man standing behind me about 20 feet away. And I said, please stay here. I'm not a scumbag. He just pulled a gun on me. Please stay here. Because at the time I was conscious, I needed people that had seen it.
He agreed?
Yes. He said, I'm going to stay here, man. Calm down. I see his gun. Just calm down. I'm going to stay.
All right. So he stuck around.
Yep.
Here come the sirens.
Yep.
Here come the lights. Kind of a stupid question. Who called 911?
I told my driver immediately after.
Okay.
Yelled, in fact, to call 911 right now. Call 911 right now.
Was the witness on the phone by any chance?
I think actually he was on a cell phone at the time.
Okay. All right. So the witness stuck around, agreed to stick around. He saw what happened and knew that, I guess, that you felt that you were in the right. And now the cops get there.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, John, I'm bring you in. This is what we hear about. And, the aftermath of what's going to happen when law enforcement shows up, and here we are, a law-abiding citizen, defended ourselves. Now the cops get here. What do we need to know? And then we'll ask David what happened. We'll kind of compare and contrast.
Well, you should. There are a lot of things you should expect, for one thing. You should expect that you're going to be disarmed if you don't disarm yourself before the police arrive. There's a good chance you will be proned out. There's a good chance you'll be handcuffed. You will likely be treated as a potential suspect, because after all, there's been a shooting and the police have no idea what happened. So you should be prepared to be treated as a suspect. You know, as a general matter, you shouldn't make any statements to the police in those circumstances. For one thing, your adrenaline is going to be running high, and you probably are not going to be thinking about what you're saying a whole lot. And frankly, there's not a lot you can say that's going to help you. You know, if you have the presence of mind, really one of the best things to say is you're wanting to cooperate with their investigation, but you want to have an opportunity to discuss the situation with an attorney before you do. And, you know, in the future, in the near future, you will cooperate with their investigation. But that's not a good time to be making statements.
Okay, David, after having heard that, let's talk about your real-life situation. You know, your mind's racing. You're on an adrenaline rush. What's going through your brain? What happened? Your first encounter with law enforcement on the scene afterwards. Sorry about that. Radio. We got your mic back up. Go ahead.
At that point, I had disarmed myself, and first thing I did to the first responding officer was present my firearms card, my concealed carry card, my license, and he asked me. He said, "Where is your firearm? Don't reach for it. Where is it?" I told him where it was. It was, you know, in the car. And he said, "Stay here." And he went over and then came back and he said, "You did the right thing. And you did good. Just stay here."
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, he's looking at, obviously, you know, his first, you can only imagine, John, what's going through the officer's mind. Because it's as it should be. You can expect to be disarmed or proned out or handcuffed, whatever the case may be. Law enforcement has no clue. They've got to set the stage for an impending investigation, right?
Right.
And you're going to, that's just great advice all the way around, that you must know if you carry a firearm for personal protection and self-defense, that this can happen to you in the event. Probably the most harrowing experience is going to be the aftermath, is it not? Or can't, it can be, obviously, because now you've got what was more than likely a law-abiding citizen who's now tangling with the judicial system for probably the first time in their lives, by virtue of the fact that they have a concealed carry permit, because that's what law-abiding means to some of you who might not like that fact. Now you're tangling with the justice system.
Right, and you've just engaged in activity that in other circumstances is a severe felony, and you know, if the person that you use deadly force against happens to die, it's the most severe felony in the land, and there's a good possibility that you're going to be treated as though you just committed a severe felony. So it can be a very harrowing experience. If you are unfortunate enough to be taken downtown, you know, you're going to be treated as someone who just either committed murder or attempted to commit murder, and that's not going to be a pleasant experience.
No, definitely not. John, what happened with you at let's go ahead a couple seconds. We're going to hear some music here in just about 10 to 15 seconds. Were you handcuffed at any point?
No.
Did you ever see the backseat of a cruiser?
Just to keep warm.
Just to keep warm. Okay. Were you taken to the police station from there?
Yes.
You were. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. We're talking to David. David was involved in a self-defense shooting. We're here discussing it with Attorney John Monroe, and we'll talk about it as soon as we come back from the break. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
This Transit Cold Moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save a dollar when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. You can reach me in the studio, mark@armedamericanradio.org, twitter.com/AARMark. We're involved in a pretty intense conversation, so we want to get right back to it, so that we can give you as much information as possible. So we're going to jump ahead to the aftermath, David, okay?
Sure.
Quick question before we move further in segment 4 here. How much time were you questioned or detained at the scene at the time?
We remained at the scene probably about an hour before we were taken to the police station.
Okay, and then you were released to go home about how long after that?
I would say a couple hours.
Couple hours, okay, and then you went home from there. Let's go to the next day.
Sure.
Let's talk about the next day. You know, did you get any sleep that night? Stupid question, but did you get any sleep that
Absolutely
night?
Absolutely none.
Okay.
None.
So I can't ask you what happened when you woke up. Let's talk about when the sun came up the next day and the reality of what happened is now sinking into your head. Tell us, lead us from that day and take us up a month or two.
Well, you know, family immediately was at my side. And I was, you know, eternally grateful for that. I was in a state of shock for days, honestly. The reality of it did not sink in until weeks later. And I was in touch with, through work, I was in touch with a counselor, and have been since in counseling to deal with, what they call post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's just been an emotional roller coaster, up and down, depression, hypersensitivity, hyper-startled. I mean, you know, there was a period of time when I couldn't go from one room of my house to the next unarmed because I was terrified. You know, I didn't sleep for months, more than 3 hours a night, wake up with nightmares. I'd have nightmares about gunfights. Not this one, oddly enough, but, you know, other things that never happened to me.
Interesting. Legalities here. During that time period, you mentioned, you know, you're talking about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later now.
Yeah.
Okay, so pay attention, folks. This is very important stuff. Now, you know, this is not a movie. This is real life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're a human being. And yeah. Along with that comes all the baggage we all have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And people like to think, you know, I'm a tough guy. All right, I'm sitting here looking at you. You're 6'6" and 310 pounds. Yeah, if I were to lay eyes on you and didn't know you, you're a tough guy. And I want the listener to pay attention to what this man is saying because it's very, very important. Let's talk about law enforcement again. Future contact with law enforcement. Was there any over the course of those months? Was there, was there a continuing, ongoing investigation? At what point was the investigation closed?
It took some time. It took some time. But it was closed months later.
How were you informed it was closed? District attorney's office?
I hired an attorney myself, actually, to you know, on the advice of a police officer friend of mine, to get it fixed and taken care of.
Okay, John, let's go back to you. Is this standard operating procedure? We're talking months down the road now. Were you even aware, David, that there was did anybody contact you at all to tell you this was still under investigation or wasn't? Did you think this was closed?
No. In fact, I had to continually call and find out.
Okay. Were they in contact with you during that time at all, or at all?
No. They would return calls.
Okay.
But no one would take the step.
You wanted some official closure, I guess, is what I'm asking, John.
Absolutely.
Is this standard par for the course here?
Well, what normally would happen is the police would investigate it for some, you know, relatively shorter period of time. At some point, unless they're being asked to do more, they're going to, you know, finalize their reports and their investigations, and they'll just turn it over to the district attorney and let the district attorney or whoever the prosecutor is in that jurisdiction decide what, if anything, to do about it. And that can take a long time because they, you know, they've got a lot of things going on, and that might not be at the top of their list. But it's not unusual never to hear, you know, anything official in terms of for example, a decision not to charge. You're frequently not informed of things like that. And, it could go on for months or years, and you really don't have any idea what's going on with it, and they don't have an obligation to tell you that they are or aren't going to do anything, of course, until you're actually, charged with something, which could happen at any time within the statute of limitations for what they might charge you. So it can go on forever, and it can be trying.
So your life can be, for a milder term, heck, for an awful long time with the stress, living under the stress of simply not knowing.
Absolutely.
And David, what's it like to get up every day and not know? When you know that you were right, when you had a gun pointed at you, and you know you're right in your own head, and now you've got to deal with this aftermath, how do you deal with that? How are you dealing with that?
It became worse and worse every day until I finally was able to see a counselor on a regular basis. You're not prepared for it. There's no. You know, I hear people all the time with an attitude of extreme preparedness, and it's just they have no idea what it's like to have to live through that, and spend months not knowing, not knowing if you're going to be charged. You know, even though the detective that handled the case told me, I've been doing this 20 years, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, sure. We've all heard that before in some other facet of our life. Don't worry about it, okay? There's not enough. You can eat that, and there's not too much sugar in it. I made it myself. John, I can't even imagine going through that stress. And we like to think we prepare. I take professional training. And part of that professional training is combat mindset, and we all talk about it. And our next guest coming up is an expert in the field, as you well know. And I don't think there's been anybody that's had more time in front of a courtroom as an expert witness than Masoud Ayoob. What? How do you, if you got a call from him or anybody in that situation and said, look, I need some help, this is what happened to me, it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever the case may be, how do you advise somebody from that point forward? What do you do as an attorney? Do you start badgering the prosecutor at this point, saying we want an answer here, or do you just let this run its course? Meanwhile, his life is spiraling here.
You know, there's, in terms of what you're describing, of finding out, you know, like, for example, what the government's going to do about it, you don't have a right to know. There's really no point in badgering them. You know, all you can do is gather up the information that's available essentially to the general public, get the police reports, things like that. You wouldn't want to make unnecessary statements to investigators or anything. But, you know, after that's done, and that's going to be done in a fairly short order, unless there's some lingering issue. I mean, it doesn't take the police a long time to investigate something like that. It's just a waiting game. And depending on, you know, because by the nature of it, we're talking about felonies, the statutes of limitations tend to be very long. And if the person happens to die, so we're talking about some kind of homicide, in many cases, there is no statute of limitations. So it can go on forever. And as I said, you have no right, you don't have an inherent right to know what, if anything, they're going to do about it. So life can be rosy one day, and the next day you find out there's a warrant for your arrest.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you're having difficulty eating, difficulty sleeping, right?
Yeah.
And this is a very, very difficult situation to deal with, for crying out loud. Now, did you finally eventually get a call from the prosecutor's office saying, hey, guess what? We're officially closing this investigation?
No, my hired attorney actually called me and told me, and I had to go to the prosecutor's office and pick up an official letter of whatever it is that they give you.
Okay, so the case is now closed. Is that, John, is that how that would normally work, or can this be real? I mean, what happens next?
Yeah, I haven't seen the letter or anything, but they probably, you know, from what David's describing, wrote some kind of letter saying, you know, we've looked at this and have decided not to charge you. That's not binding on them. Still within the applicable statute of limitations, he could still be charged. There's nothing they could say short of granting immunity for some reason that would ever, give you some kind of finalization to it within whatever the statute of limitations is for what they might choose to charge you.
Okay, so what I want to point out to listeners is that, and John, I know you'll agree with me, very involved in the grassroots organizations here in Georgia and very active, and I know, David, I know you'll agree. I don't even have to ask you. I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me that when you make a decision to carry a firearm for personal protection, these are the things that you're going to have to face, as you well know now, in the event you have to defend your life. Would you have done or do, would you do anything different? You carry a weapon today.
Yes.
Okay.
No one knows, by the way, that you have to face these things. No one has any idea. I have absolutely no regrets, because I know that I was forced. This was forced on me, and did absolutely everything I could to try and get away from it.
Well, here's the key. You're alive, and you're here to talk with us about it, and I think that's the most important part.
Yes, sir.
So thank you very much for joining us in hour number one. And Eric, thank you for joining us too, and thank you for putting us in contact and making the long trek up here to come into the Armed American Radio studio. Okay?
Absolutely, my pleasure.
All right, and John, thank you very much for being here and lending your expertise in the field. Ladies and gentlemen, that's tough stuff to listen to. But you're on the Armed American Radio Network, and it's what we want to talk with you about each and every week. It's why it's so important that you train. If you're going to make the decision to carry a firearm, these things can happen. Pick up the newspapers, and let's hope to God it's not you, and if it is you, that you are prepared. I'm Mark Walters. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back with hour number two after these messages. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.